So I don't often speak about God's word and only focus in on one word. But this morning there is one word I want us to focus in on. It's in verse 17. It goes like this. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's the word might. Have you ever wondered why Jesus, who's coming again and is going to keep his promise, and that the world will be turned into heaven on earth, why would he say might? He could save us all, but he says might be saved. Well, I think the key happens back in the Old Testament, in the Numbers passage. So I want us to go back there. So we're going to take a deep breath and move from Jesus to Moses and the people hanging out in the desert as they've gone from Egypt into the wilderness of the desert, and they've been kind of tromping around the land, haven't gotten yet to this promised land that they heard of. And I love it when they're murmuring. There's four murmuring stories. This is the last murmuring story in Numbers. So they're murmuring and complaining because they say there is no food and water. And then in their next breath, they say, we detest this miserable food. So in other words, I don't like what you're serving for dinner, is what they're saying. Have you ever heard anyone say that to you? And God, it seems, gets a little bit frustrated with these people he saved. And so he sends serpents out, and the serpents begin to kill them. So they murmur again. They begin to complain and murmur that God has sent these serpents and we're dying. Moses, Moses, go to God and pray to God for us because we're dying. And Moses does that. He prays to God, and God says, make this serpent and stand it up, and those who look up will be healed. Why would God do that? Why would God do that for God's people who are murmuring and complaining because he's been serving them manna and quails and water in the wilderness? Why would God do it? And I think about the people that he saves, the Israelites. They've been in, they are children of Abraham. We don't know how the children of Abraham really worshiped, do we? We have an idea that they made sacrifice and that they made, you know, monuments each time something happened. But here they have been in Egypt under a dictator who had a particular religion with a whole bunch of gods and a whole bunch of rules and temples and everything. And they were the slaves. They get out into the wilderness. And you have to wonder what they thought God would do. Would God build them temples? Would God, you know, create a feast? So you have this crowd that some were believers in this God Yahweh, and some were just glad to be out of slavery. So they complain and murmur, and Moses talks to God, and God offers them a way to be healed. Now, they didn't say, God, we're sorry. They said, Moses, pray to God that God will make the serpents go away. God doesn't do it. The serpents are still in their midst. The serpents are still biting and causing possible death. They have to choose to look at the serpent raised up in order to live. That the world might be saved. Jesus came because of God's great love for us. God's great love for God's people who were wandering in the wilderness and murmuring against him. He gave them a way to be saved, even when they may not have wanted to be. And God gave all of humanity a way to be saved for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the world might be saved because it's a choice that we, as those who are human, have to make. God is going to save us, but we have to accept salvation. It's not God saving us, we don't have to do anything about it. God is saving those who say yes to that relationship in God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we turn from the things of the world and turn towards God, we are saved. God didn't have to do it. We as humans often continue, as the Ephesians passage talked about, we continually like the things of the world. We continually like the things that could cause us to go astray. We continually fall short of God's glory. But God is a loving and forgiving and receiving God. So we can fall short, but we can also turn and repent. And turn and repent. And turn and repent. And God will take us back again and again and again and again. What was it? 70 times 7. God will never stop forgiving us for all of our humanness. And isn't that a great word of hope? Isn't that a great word of joy? So what do we do with this? You know, when will we learn that all we have to do is turn to God and be in this relationship? And God will take care of this one. But we have to make sure we're in that relationship with God so God can take care and save the world. But again, what do? We who have said yes. We have to speak. We have to live. We have to live out of that yes. So that those who are unchurched and unsaved, as Ralph would tell us every day at Union Chapel, that we have to pray for the unchurched and the unsaved. The unchurched and the unsaved need to know the message of salvation. Because the world's message is, you just need all these things and life is wonderful. But that life leads to death. A life in love with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ leads to life eternal. That the world might be saved. No one will ever learn unless we tell the story. So this week, spend some time being that light in other people's darkness so that they might come to know the Savior that you know. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.